And we're beginning the fourth perek of our Masechta, Samaches Samar Aleph. Most of this perek talks about, the dinim of Ben Tkua, and when you find an animal, you shecht an animal, and you find a baby, inside it. So most of the perek deals with the dinim of that, what the dinim are as far as eating the baby. At the end of the parak, we're also going to talk about a little bit of Hilchos Treifus. Again, we're going to talk about the matter of the Tzomis HaGidim, an area of a collection of tendons by one of the joints, one of the lower joints of the animal's legs, which we touched on a few times in the previous parak. But the main focus of our parak is going to be about this unborn baby. Baby explains that we learned about Treifus in the previous parak. Now what we're doing is we're saying that there will be a case, as we're going to learn in our Mishnah, where part of an animal is Treifa and part of it is not.
How many guys
are there? So the Mishnah says, when you have an animal, the mother animal, that's in hard labor, at the time of Shlita, Rashi explains, and we'll talk about in a second why it has to be at the time of Shlita, the baby stuck out its foreleg or any one of its extremities, the hechzira, and brought it back into the womb. So Shlita, mutar b'achila, it is mutar b'achila. Now, do we mean mutar, the baby as a whole, or do we mean that leg, that arm or leg as well? We'll see in the Gemara. The point being, in other words, that the shlita of the mother is not to the baby, as we're going to be learning throughout the poem. The reason why we have to say that we're talking about doing the shechita is because if the baby had put back its arm in, we're going to learn in the Gemara that actually the arm or leg itself, the extremity that the baby stuck out itself, is going to be also b'achila, as we're going to learn in the Gemara. But that's only if it was outside at the time of shechita. If it was put it back in before the shechita, then there's no problem. And after all, the Beis Yosef points out, if not for that, then you would very rarely be able to say that you could eat any of the extremities of an animal, because it often happens while it's in the womb that it sticks out an arm or a leg and then brings it back in. So the problem is only if it takes place during the shechita. But in any case, the Mishnah says mutar b'achila, which makes it sound like the whole thing is mutar b'achila. We'll see in the Gemara the details about that. Hotzias Yerusha, if the baby stuck out its head, even though it put it back in before they finished checking the mother, even when it's not at the time of shvita at all, then the baby is considered as already born, meaning that it's going to need its own shvita. As opposed to, in other words, like this baby in the womb, when you check the mother, the baby becomes mutter as well. It's considered a part of her. But once the baby is born, then of course it needs its own shitter. So here, when it sticks out the head, then it's already considered that it's born. Next, the Mishnah continues. Suppose that a person stuck his hand in to the womb and cut off one of the limbs of the baby animal and left it inside. Mutar achila, that part is also going to be mutar when you shech the mother. So let's say, for example, you reached in and cut off. So before we were talking about that the baby stuck out a leg. Now let's say, for example, we're saying that the person stuck in his hand and cut off a leg of the baby while it was in the womb and left it in there. So then that part will be mutar when you shech the mother, the baby, as well as that detached part will be mutar to eat, as we're going to learn in the Gemara tomorrow, guys. On the other hand, if you were to reach in and cut off a piece of the mother animal's spleen or the kidneys, also b'achila, then it would be also to eat. Now, we learned in the previous parak, as far as the spleen, we learned two possibilities about that. Does that mean that the animal as a whole is treifa? Because now, even though we said that if the spleen is removed, the animal is kosher, we had an opinion of Rabbi Avira over there that said that if it has a hole, then it would be treifa, and of course cutting it is even worse than a hole. So according to that way of looking at it, when the Mishnah says osur b'achila, means the entire thing, mother, is also osur b'achila, because now she becomes a treifa. The other way that we said over there in the Gemara is that no, there's a difference. A hole would make it treifa, but a cut would not, and therefore it can mean over here that osur b'achila would just mean that piece is osur b'achila, which in fact is how Rashi learns over here. So the point is, we mention those specifically because those, if they're cut, the mother doesn't become trefa, meaning if you were to reach in and cut some other internal organ, then never mind the question of whether that piece would be mutter, the animal as a whole would be trefa, but if it's cut the spleen or the kidneys, as we learned in the previous paragraph, damage to those is not, for the most part, does not make the animal trefa, except under certain rare circumstances that we talk about, therefore that's why we're mentioning them over here. Zach, follow the general rule is, something which is part of the actual animal itself, also, then if you cut it off before the shita, then it's also to eat its avim and achai, the she'enemi gufa, if it's not part of the body, namely the unborn gogi mutter, then it becomes mutter when you shech the animal. We learned yesterday, at the end of the previous paragraph, about the possibility that certain wounds that you find inside the animal might also be considered part of it, although we said, v'halacha, it's not such. So the Gemara says, I'm going to be Yehuda Amar Abba, if Atzmai Osir, you feel, oh, even though we're telling you, even though the missionary is saying, Mutter Ba'achila, the limb itself that the jade stuck out is going to be Osir to eat. Again, if it took place long before Shlita, and by the time of the Shlita, everything is safely inside the womb, then fine. But we're talking about the after time of the Shlita, it was sticking out, then it's Osir. My timer. Why? Because the Pasuk says don't eat meat that's torn in the field. This is where we learn the whole issue of trefa, but why does it have to say basodet? Which implies someplace that's outside, outdoors, with no walls. So we learn from that, whenever you have meat that needs a certain nefizah, that needs a certain barricade or something around it, then if it's outside of that, then it's also to eat. It's considered like trefa. An example of that, Rashi says this, for example, we're going to talk about further. On other days, we're going to talk about, for example, kodshim that are supposed to be in the Azara or in the Yerushalayim, respectively, and were taken out of there, they become also to you, because they went out of the mechitza that they're supposed to. Well, the same way over here. This baby, as long as it was in the mechitza of its mother's womb, then the shita of the mother is matter it. Now that it's stuck it out, then that part becomes trefa, it becomes it went out of its mechitza, and therefore you're not allowed to eat it. And in fact, it would be like trefa, that ain lo takana. There would be no fixing it up afterwards, meaning that you can't say that if it goes back in, then it's mutter. No, the fact that even though it went back in, let's say after the shita, nevertheless, though, if it was outside at the time of the shita, then it's an over. An interesting word that a couple of the Foshin, and the Achronim, and the Shamshin, point out is the word trefa itself, besides in the previous paragraph, we talked about trefa, that means that it was clawed by a predator or whatever, and then you learn from that all the other din and all the other cases where an animal has some kind of fatal defect that makes it a trefa, but the basic meaning of trefa is torn away. So therefore, what it means is, therefore, possibly something any time that it was torn away from being in the place where it was supposed to. It was supposed to be in a certain mechitza, and now it's been torn away from them. Whether in the case of chodshim that were taken out of whether we're talking about chodshim that were taken out of the azara, or whether we're talking about or Yerushalayim as the case may be, or whether we're talking about or whether we're talking about in this case an unborn animal that stuck its arm or leg outside of the mud. So therefore, so it's necessary it becomes us. Well, the Gemara says now, let's consider what our Mishnah says. The Mishnah says that you have an animal that's a mother animal that was having a hard time giving birth. And then the unborn baby stuck out its hand and then put it back in. So we said it's mutter to eat. My lava ever isn't the pashtus. Doesn't the word mutter ba'achila refer to the ever itself? So as long as it put it back in before the shchita, then it's fine. And the answer is lo ya'uver. No, what we mean is the baby as a whole is mutter, but the baby as a whole is mutter, but the ever itself, as Rabbi Huda is saying in the name of Rab, would in fact be awesome. So the Gemara says, "Iya uber." If you're talking about the baby, my iya zira, then why bother mentioning the point that it put it back in? I feel like why chazina nami. Even if it didn't put anything back in, then the baby would still be mutter. As long as the baby is inside the womb when the mother is shechted, then it's mutter to eat. We're going to learn tomorrow about the shem. We have a pasuk that says. That says, in the animal you can eat, And we learn from that that it means one animal that's inside another, namely an unborn baby that's inside the mother's womb, is allowed, you're allowed to eat it. So even if there's, as long as the baby is inside the womb, then it's a mutter, why do we need to mention Hefzira in our mission? So I feel like Hefzira Nami, even if it didn't put it back in, it should still be mutter. The baby as a whole. So there's no chiddush in that. Why would the Mishnah have to tell us that? So the answer is who are din apagav v'loyachzira. In fact, you're right. The Mishnah's din would apply even if you didn't put it back in, even if the baby didn't put back in the limb. The baby as a whole would be mutter. The ayid kaboy misna sefer. But because it's going to be staying in the sefer. The Mishnah continues and says that if it stuck out its head, even if it put it back in, then it's already considered born, meaning that it needs its own shita. Tananami reisha hefzira. Therefore, it says the reisha is the case of hefzira, even though there's not so much of a chiddush in there. So in other words, now Tosfos does bring up the point that. Fine, but what's the maybe that's the point then. So the Mishnah that the Gemara is going to bring soon talks about a case where the baby stuck out its head and didn't put it back in. Maybe then our Mishnah needs to tell. Maybe then the Mishnah needs. So let's actually talk about that in a minute in connection with in connection with Tosfos. Okay, in any case, the point is that so far we can say that the point is when it put back in the limb, then it doesn't matter. We're saying that the baby as a whole, whether it put it back in or not, the baby as a whole is mutter. The limb that stuck out at the time of shita is also. But when it comes to the head, once it stuck it out, even if it puts it back in, then it's still considered it was born already. So that's the part of what Tosfos mentions is the point is that you should realize that the baby, that the head coming out alone is already considered birth. You don't need most of it. You don't need most of it to come out. Okay. So the Gemara says, Sefer my kamash malon. Well, okay, but then you have to ask, then what's the chiddush of the Sefer? The kimin shiyotza roshay, the kimin shiyotza roshay, havyul olega, that once the head comes out, it's considered that already it's born. Tanena, well, we don't need our Mishnah to be telling us that because we learned effectively the same thing in a Mishnah in Bechoros. We'll learn in a few months, that's the shame. A Zehu Bechor L'Nachla, the Ena Bechor L'Koyinim. What is considered a Bechor as far as Nachla, but not as far as the Koyinim, as far as Pidyon HaBen? You know that there are two major dinim in the Torah, as far as human Bechorim, where the two major dinim where being a Bechor matters. One of them is as far as Pidyon HaBen, and the other one, is that a Bechor gets a double portion. So the Mishnah is talking about then that now, when it comes to a Bechor L'Nachla, the key thing is that he's his father's Bechor. When it comes to Bechor L'Koyim, the key thing is that he's his mother's Bechor, because there it says Peter Rehu. So the Mishnah describes over there different cases where you can have that a person is Bechor L'Nachla, but not a Bechor L'Koyim. Now, one other difference, which is going to be relevant to our Sophia over here, is that in order to be considered a Bechor, a baby has to be, and therefore that a future baby is not a bechor. What has to be that it was a viable baby. Rashi explains that when it comes to nachla, the expression of the pasuk is reishis oinoi. Literally, reishis oinoi means the first of its strength. But the word oinoi can also be related to a word for mourning or sadness, like you have when Binyamin is born and his mother calls him Ben Oini, the son of my sorrow, because she was dying in childbirth. So therefore, we learn from the words reishis oinoi that it has to be, in order to be considered a full-fledged bechor, it has to be that the parents would be sad if afterwards the baby passed away, rachmana litzlan, as opposed to when it was a non-viable baby where they don't feel that way. Meaning, in other words, therefore, so if a non-viable baby is born, and then later on the mother becomes pregnant again and has another baby, then that second one will be considered a bechor as far as nachla. He won't be considered a bechor as far as pidyon haben. So therefore, so that's the Mishnah saying, is there a bechor the nachla but in a bechor l'karenim? What is a case? What are one of the examples where someone is a bechor as far as nachla, but not a bechor as far as the karenim, as far as pidyon haben? So one example is Haba Achanafalim, a baby who, a viable baby who was born after a stillbirth. Now, even if that stillborn baby stuck out its head and was still from the womb and was still alive at that point. One example would be, we're going to talk about now, as far as 8 versus 9 month pregnancies. Throughout Shas, we take it as a given that a baby can develop on either of two tracks. A baby can develop in the womb on a 7 month track or a 9 month track. On the 7 month track, means that's it. The baby is going to be born sometime during the 7th month and be perfectly healthy and viable. The Gemara tells us in various places that a number of tzaddikim in Jewish history were born after such pregnancies. Yitzchak, according to one opinion, Moshe Rabbeinu, according to one opinion, Shmuel Hanavi, according to pretty much everybody, were all born after such pregnancies. Then you can, though most babies develop on the 9 month track. So now if a baby is born during the 8th month, then we consider that baby is premature. And, you know, nowadays you have incubators and we have all kinds of things to be able to keep the baby alive, but back then they didn't have that. So the assumption was that a baby born during the 9th month is going to be non-viable. That's where the Gemara talks about. So what if it's a 7 month baby that was a longer pregnancy than normal? And the Gemara provides ways to distinguish between one and the other. Anyway, the point is, suppose you have now an 8 month baby where he stuck out his head still alive, but then he passed away, Rahman's fine, sometime within the first 30 days of the birth. So that's considered a non, it's considered the baby was non-viable in the first place. And therefore, even though he stuck out his head alive, and then, so Rashi explains, we're talking about over here twins. So Rashi explains that we're talking about two twins in the womb, one of whom was already not a full term pregnancy, and the other one was. Now it's a very odd thing to have such a thing. There is such a thing we'll learn about in the Masechta Nidah, as the Shem will talk about. There is a rarity in general. Once a woman is pregnant, she's not going to become pregnant again. So it seems a little hard to understand how you could have two twins, one not be full term and the other one is. But again, the Gemara does mention in Nidah such rare possibilities. The Chassam Sofer wonders about it and says that, look, maybe what we're talking about, that one of them was born right at the end of the 8th month before Ben Hashemashis, and the other one was born after Seisach Chavim, so therefore you can have their two babies of the same age, but one is born preterm and the other one full term. On the other hand, the Ramban explains we don't have to be talking about twins at all. What we're talking about is that this woman had a baby, an 8 month baby, and then was born alive and then passed away shortly after that. Later on, she had another baby. And the point is, in other words, that now the second baby is still considered a Bechor as far as Nachla. And the Mishnah continues, Oy ben Tisha sheyotza roshin nes, or it was a full-term 9 month baby, but he stuck out its head from its head came out of the womb and it was already dead. So in both those cases, it wasn't a ben kayama, it wasn't a viable baby in the first case because it was preterm, and in the second case because it was stillborn. So either way, then they were saying that the next baby is considered a bechor as far as nachla, because the first one is not considered reishis oinoi, because they don't feel as sad for him. Whereas when it comes to pidyon haben, it wouldn't be a bechor as far as pidyon haben because it wasn't peter rechem. The point being, the Gemara says, time of the roshei nes. Now you're saying in the second example, why are we saying that that later on a future baby, the second twin according to Rashi, or a later single birth according to the Ramban, would be, why would the second one be considered the Bechor Nachla? The roshei nes, only because the first one, even though it was full term, stuck out its head and it was already dead. Paul roshei chai, implying that if it was still alive at the time, habachar Bechor Nachla, now they have it. Then even if that 9 month baby passed away right after that, then nevertheless, the next baby would not be a Bechor, because at that point we would say, Mishal Liv Dovah, or we would say that the father, that the parents are sad for that first baby because it was full term and could have lived had it not been for something else. So the point is, in other words, we see that once a live baby sticks out its head, it's considered born. So why would we need our Mishnah to be telling us such a thing? Now Tosfos said that the Gemara could have asked the question very simply, much more simply, just say, because it says not a Bechor L'Kohen, that means that already once he stuck out his head is considered born. And the answer is because then we could have said that when it said it stuck out its head, it actually means Ruboy, it actually means most of the body. But here when it's the Gemara gives such an answer in that Gemara in Bechorvus. In any case, but the point is, we have that Mishnah in Bechorvus telling us that once the head goes out, it's considered already born, so why do we need our Mishnah to be telling us that? Now, here's where Tosfos points out that, wait a minute, then, the fact is, in that Mishnah in Bechorvus doesn't say anything about putting the head back in, whereas our Mishnah does. Maybe that's the finish of our Mishnah. And Tosfos says, look, if we see from the Mishnah in Bechorvus that once it struck out its head, it's considered born, then pretty obviously, if it puts it back in, it wouldn't make a difference. On the other hand, without the Mishnah and Bechorus, then yeah, we would understand there is a chiddush of our Mishnah, the fact that just the head coming out is considered a birth, even though the rest of the body hasn't come out yet. So the answer is chi tema. Now you're going to answer maybe the difference is maybe we need the Mishnah and Bechorus as well as our Mishnah. Ashmi'in and Ba'odam v'kamash malon v'behema. Maybe you would say that it needs to tell us in Bechorus about people, and it also needs to tell us in our Mishnah about an animal, because you could argue the adam and behemah loyalif. You could argue you can't learn the din of a person from an animal. The in proizer the behemah, because an animal doesn't have a proizer. Both a woman and a female animal have a uterus and have the various other parts of the reproductive system. But the difference is that with a woman, there's the thickness of her thighs, her buttocks, that when the baby starts coming out of the birth canal, it's not necessarily visible right away. As opposed to an animal does not have that. An animal's backside is constructed differently, and it just has the baby comes out of the birth canal and comes right out into the world. There's nothing else in the way. Tosfos points out the word proizer sometimes in Gemara terminology can mean the birth canal itself. And that obviously animals have as much as people do. But what we're talking about over here is beyond that, where you have once the baby gets out of the birth canal, then in the case of the mother, it still has to pass through the width of her thighs. Whereas with an animal, you don't need to. Tosfos points out that happens sometimes. Sometimes the Gemara will use the same terminology and mean two different things in different contexts. Anyway, the point is, you're going to say that a person, that with a human being, that with an animal, there's no proizer, and therefore, as soon as the head comes out, it can be considered born, as opposed to by a woman, where you still have the thickness, it still has to go through the thickness between her thighs. So therefore, you could argue that when even the head coming out is not really considered a birth yet. And vice versa. You could say mehema ma'odim lo yalfa. Vice versa, on the other hand, you can't. So that vice versa, you couldn't learn the animal from the person. Dechosha parts upon him bidei, because you could argue that by a person, the fact that the face comes out, the face of a person, is considered something very significant. A face of a person, after all, is a reflection of a person is made with selam alakim, and therefore it's a reflection of Hashem of Hashem to a certain extent. So therefore, you could say that the head coming out is really considered a birth, but not necessarily so with an animal. So therefore, see, you could argue that therefore you need two Mishnahs. So you need our Mishnah to say that nevertheless, with an animal, the head coming out is considered a full-fledged birth, and we need the Mishnah, and even if it put it back in, and the Mishnah in Bechorvus will tell us the same thing is true as far as human beings, and then we would still be able to learn, Rav's din, that when the Mishnah says that with the head, Aspishek Zira, how is it Yolam, even though we put it back in, the baby is already considered born, as opposed to with the aver, with an individual limb, an arm or a leg or whatever, we would say that once it's stuck it out, then that part, so that part becomes also to eat, but the rest of it would be mutter to eat. So we would still be able to uphold Rav's din. The question is honami tamena. The question is that we also have later on in our perek, we're going to have a din. It's also going to state that with an animal, the head coming out is considered a birth. Because the Mishnah says that a shulya shiyotza mitzasa, if a shulya, which is an amniotic sac, which is what the baby forms inside the womb, forms inside that sac, and then one end of that sac is the placenta. So shiyotza mitzasa, if part of it came out of the womb before the mother animal was shafted, asura ba'achila, then that shulya is also to eat. Because what happens is, in other words, now normally inside the shulya you're going to find a healthy baby. But here what we're talking about is that let's say all you found is the contents of the shulya have been liquefied. So therefore, so now the question is, could you eat the shilya itself? And the answer is that no, because what happens, the end that came out might have been the head end. It might have been the head of it that held the animal, the baby animal's head before it was shafted. Right now, you don't see any head. You don't see anything because the baby got liquefied in there. But nevertheless, you could still say that it's possible that it was the head end that came out. And the Mishnah continues, Simen Vlad Be'isha, Kisimen Vlad Be'isha, Kisimen Vlad Be'behema. The same way as a shulya is a demonstration with a human being, with a woman, that there was a baby in there, the same way a shulya is a simen for an animal, but there was a baby in there. And now there's the concern that it might have been the head end of it. Now Tosfos points out that maybe it's only because once some of it came out, then make a zera that you might confuse it with the case where all of it came out. But no, because Tosfos says if it wasn't for the fact that the head coming out is considered a birth, then you wouldn't even bother making such a zera. Tosfos also asks, what do you mean, kiss simon vlad beisha, kat simon vlad the behemoth? Just like a shulya is a simon of birth by a woman, so it is by a behemoth. What do we say, like this, so that? Or why is it more obvious by one and by the other? So Tosfos says, because there's a different thing, called a shir, the embryo itself, at a very early stage of development, is already considered by a woman simon vlad, whereas by an animal, so the thing is not considered vlad, nevertheless, by a shulya, it's still the same thing. With that said, there's a gusa, which you find in other places in Shas as well, simon vlad beisha, the simon vlad behema, it means that a shulya, just then, means that a shulya is equally well a simon of a baby by a mother, by a human mother, and by an animal. And the point is, again, that now when the shulya comes out, then you have to be concerned that maybe it's the head end that came out. Now, iam at the shlema hasziro bereisha dafka, if you say that in the reisha of our Mishnah, when it says that hasziro is significant and is said for a particular purpose, namely to tell you if you were going to say like this. Like this, we had Rab telling us that once the baby stuck out its leg, then that leg becomes also to eat. Because it stuck it out during the process of the shita, even though it put it back in, also during the process of the shita. If you say not like Rav, and you say there's a difference if the leg was still out the whole time, then it's also, but if it brought it back in, then it's mutter, and therefore the zero of the ratio of our Mishnah would be davka, and it would be telling you that Hechziro is significant, and the whole thing mutar b'achila, including that leg. Well, then we can say tana sefer alteration, and we can explain that it's at the sefer of our Mishnah about the case where it stuck out its head, even though it put it back in. Why? Even though that's not necessary, even though we can learn derive it from the Mishnah later in our parak, because we learn the sefer by the way to going together with the Reisha. Eli amet loy. But if you say like Rav. But if you're going to say like Rav, that either way, even if Hechzira is still also, Loy Dereisha Dafka, Loy Dereisha Dafka, then neither the Hechzira in the beginning of our Mishnah or in the end of our Mishnah is there for a particular purpose. In the first part, the din would apply even if Loy Hechzira, and in the second din, we can already derive it from the case of Shulya. So why would the Mishnah be doing that? So Loma Lele Mishnah, why would the Mishnah say Hechzira in all? So the answer is loy, lo'olam ha'ober. In fact, we're going to answer, like we said, or like we were saying all along, points of Rav, that when you say mutar b'achila, doesn't mean the limb itself, it means the baby as a whole, except for that limb. So why does it use the word achzira? The chid omer of Nachum Yitzchak, like Rav Nachum Yitzchak says, which we're going to learn on Omer Beis, the chiddush is that we're saying that something is mutar is the actual place of the cut itself. Namely like this. Let's say, for example, so we'll bring a braisa later on from Nachum Yitzchak said his original statement on, but applying it to our Mishnah, if let's say, for example, the baby stuck out 3 inches of its leg before the shchita was completed. And so now, if the leg was still outside at the time of the shchita, it's not just those 3 inches we'd have to cut off, we'd also have to cut off a little more than that, because if you cut off exactly the 3-inch mark, it comes out that the edge of it, or the edge of the cut, was not completely surrounded by the womb at the time of the shchita. Because after all, that heart was that heart was attached to the rest of the leg, which is outside. So in other words, if you were to right then at that moment, for example, chop off that part, you would have an exposed area of flesh which is not inside the wound. So therefore, you'd have to cut a little bit further back in, actually. So you'd have to measure, and then after, so either right now, in other words, so right now you would cut off that part, and then after the mother is checked and you take out the baby, then you would cut again a quarter inch or a half inch or whatever further in. Or we would say that you would measure to begin with how much it is, and then after the baby is born, then you would measure a little more than that and then cut. On the other hand, says the Nachamisa, if the baby stuck the limb back in, brought the limb back inside, then you don't need to do that. Then you only need to cut off the exact amount that stuck out and no more than that. Because at that point, that cut area was not outside at the time of the shritta. The same way over here, when the Mishnah is saying v'chzira mutar ba'achila, it doesn't mean the limb as a whole. It doesn't mean the limb is mutar ba'achila. We would still say like Rav that in fact it's also ba'achila. What we would say though is that there's a difference between echzira and not echzira as far as the actual place of the cut itself, whether that particular place itself is mutter or whether we have to recut it and that part is osir as well. So therefore, no proof from our Mishnah against Rav, because in fact the Mishnah in the Reisha did have to mention the case of Achzira in order to hint at that point, at that distinction of Rav Nachman Yitzchak, and therefore, meanwhile, it mentions Achzira in the Sefer as well, even though as far as the head, even though that's not necessary, even though we could have derived it from the Mishnah later on, I'm going to show you because that's the style of the Mishnah to keep things in parallel. Okay, the Gemara says Toshim Alex prove against Rav though from another Braisa. Behema Machale, what a Braisa says, sorting out similar to our Mishnah, if an animal, a mother animal, is in hard labor, Behoitzi Ugras Yodivazira, the baby stuck out its foreleg and then brought it back in, and then he shechted the mother, Mutu Bachila, then it's Mutu to eat. But if he shechted the mother and then the baby brought back in its arm, its foreleg, then it would be osavachila. Continues the Braisa. What if the baby stuck out its foreleg, the chospa, and he cut it off right there on the spot? And then he shechted the mother. What was outside is tome, the osir, and it's going to be osir. As Eva Menachai, what was left inside Tohar is Tohar. When we say Tomei va'osir, so Tomei va'osir means osir to eat, as Eidman Achai, and Tomei in the sense that it's and Tomei in the sense that it's going to have the Tumah of Nevela, which is going to be Matamei, a person who touches or can't use it. Later on in our Masechta, it talks about that Eidman Achai for that purpose is considered like Eidman and Ames, and therefore it'll be Matamei just like a Nevela. So the Shebefnim, on the other hand, what stayed inside the womb, Tohar or Mutter is going to be Tohar, it's not going to be Hatumas Nevela, and it's going to be Mutter to eat. What about the point is that it touched the part that's Tomei, but while the animal is alive, it doesn't have Tumas Uichlin. It's not able to be Makabal Tuma as food while it's touching it when it's alive. The fact is, eventually you have to cut it off. But that's the point. In other words, so right now, in other words, that Aver itself, what you cut off, is going to be also as Nevela, but you cut it off while the baby was still alive, and therefore the rest of it is not Makabal Tumas Nevela. Now, continue to the Braisa, another case. Shochatas Imavah Hakach Fosfa. What happens? He shechts the mother, and then shechts that limb that stuck out. So now, Abosa Maga Nevela Divere Meir. So now what happens is, the meat of that baby animal is going to be, and for that matter, the mother animal as well, they all touch that limb, so therefore it's considered maga nevela. They touched something which is nevela. The nevela itself is an avatuma, and therefore now the rest of the meat became a rishon latuma. Divrei Rav Meir, that's what Rav Meir says. The chachamim hold that it's a lesser degree of tuma. Since it was still attached at the time of Shritta, it's true that the Shritta doesn't make it mutter to eat. Nevertheless, the Shritta takes away the Trefa of Nevela and makes it only like Trefa, as we're going to learn later on in our parak about the details of that.
So, and for that matter, Rashi points out, the Gemara is going to ask later on that if it's Tzrei Kashchuta, there's no Tumah in it, so what's the problem anyway? It was Maga Tzrei Kashchuta, and we're going to explain that it means that Midrabbanan, it makes Kodesh and Tara. In any case, according to the Chachamim, there's no Tumah Daraisa over here, and there's no Tumah that applies to Cholet over here. So therefore, that's the Braisa. Now, Hatoni Mia, and now, at any rate, the Braisa had said, Hatoni Mia Reisha, at any rate, the Reisha of the Braisa had said, Hotzi Ubras Yodavar Zira, we said you have the case where the baby stuck out its foreleg and then put it back in, and then you shefted the mother, Mutra Akiva, we said it's Mutra to eat. My lava ever, shouldn't we assume, again, like we first started assuming about our Mishnah, that we're referring to the limb as a whole, that even that is Mutra, not like that. And the answer is loy over. No, it means that it's talking about the baby as a whole. So the question is, e over, aim a safer. Yeah, but then what about unlike in our Mishnah, where it just mentioned, hoitzi over, so yod about zero, multi machila, and it didn't go into any of the detail, then it just went to talk about the head. In the Braise, it gives more detail. But the sefer of the Braise says, shofat hasimoy, if you shefted the mother, rachatach hasimoy, and then the baby put back in the limb, also machila, then that limb is also to eat. If you're talking about what do you mean? It's also to eat. If you mean the limb, then we're saying only then does it become also. And if you're going to tell me that until now it's been talking about the baby as a whole, meaning that if it put it back in, then if it didn't put it back in, then the baby is mutter, and just that limb is also. But if it put it back in after the shechita, it's also v'achila. If we mean that the baby as a whole is also, am I also? Why would the whole thing be also? The one that stuck out would be also. The rest of the baby would be mutter. And the answer is, again, again, the same way as Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak is going to explain about in another braisa that we're going to quote soon, that where there's a difference as far as the actual place of the cut itself, the same way over here, we would say that the difference is, whether it's zero or not, the difference is only as far as the Mekoyim Chasach, that particular place, let's say we said 3 inches from the end, is that particular place itself mutter or not? And that will make a difference whether the baby put back in the limb before or not, like we said at the bottom of the previous omelet. So if at the time of the shechita, you chopped off that 3 inches and then shefted the mother, then not only is the 3 inches going to be osir, but also that place of the cut itself is going to be osir, and therefore afterwards you're going to have to cut it back a little further up. As opposed to, if it put it back in, then you don't need to do that, then you can cut off later on after the shechita the exact 3 inches, and that will be also, and the rest will be mutter. Okay, so still no contradiction from this braisa on Rav. All right, the Gemara says, Amy, is that so? You're telling me, Rav, that what it stuck out is going to remain also forever as a trefa? But let's ask on Rav's basic thing. When Avimi came from Beit Chozoi is an area nowadays in Iran. We find in many places in Shas where people from Bogol had business dealings over there. So they would often travel back and forth. So now when Avimi came from Beit Chozoi, Osta, so when he came to Bogol, he brought in his hands a braisa that the Chachamim weren't familiar with before, which I guess he had learned in Beit Chozoi. Now like this. The Torah tells us, when the Torah describes the simonim of kosher animals that we talked about in the previous parak, it uses the word parasa in the singular and paras and prosois in the plural. The expression of the pasuk is an animal that's mafresas parasa, that has a split hoof, and the shesas chesta, shtei frosas, and that has its fully split. So first it says parasa, and then it says prosois. So Avimi's new braisa explained as follows: why does the Torah use both the expression? It hints like this: parasa, if the end of that pasuk says "Babehema oisa techelu," in a behema that you can eat, and it's from those words "Babehema oisa techelu," which as we'll learn in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that is where we learn this whole concept of ben pekuah, this whole concept that if you find a baby inside the mother's womb at the time of the shechita, that you're allowed to eat it. We learn it from those words, Babahema Osa Techel. So therefore, this braisa is going to explain also what the significance of parasa and trosis is in that connection. It means parasa hetzer epo, means if the baby stuck out one hoof, then you could still eat that. Trosis hetzer echo, and if it stuck out two hooves, you're also allowed to eat. Now, why would it need, obviously, if it stuck out two, then it's mucho, how much more so one. So what would the braisa mean? My love, hefsa parsa, echo parsa. If maybe on the face of it, it means that if it stuck out even one hoof, that if it stuck out one hoof, you're allowed to eat even that hoof. And if it stuck out both of them, you're still allowed to eat both of them. Meaning, now obviously, in other words, the point is the pasuk does not need to tell us that the hooves that are inside the animal at the time of shechita are mutter, because obviously if the whole baby is mutter, then obviously the hooves of it are also mutter as well. So what it means is we have to be talking about where something was stuck out. So parsa echo would mean when it stuck out one parsa, as long as it put it back in, echo, then you can eat it. Shtei parsas, and if it stuck out, but if it stuck out two, then also echo, then you could eat two, but only if it brought them both back in. The point of the pasuk would be you could have a case where it stuck out two parsas, and one of them is also to eat, and the other one is mutter. And what would that be if one of them was outside of the time of the shechita, and the other one was back inside of the time of the shechita? Well, then that braisa directly contradicts Rav then, who says that both of them, in fact, would be also. So the answer is loy. No, what the braisa means is hefsa parasa echo over. It means if it's stuck back in the parasa, the hoof, echo over, then you are allowed to eat that unborn baby. But the rest of it, but not that part. So the question is, you over my area, hefsir, I feel like hefsir nami. Well, then again, we have the question, why bother mentioning hefsir? The rest of the baby is mutter, even if not hefsir. And the answer is, amar nachma yitzchak, lo yitzchak elo lemkem chasak. Again, here is the original braisa, which nachma yitzchak commented on and said that there's a difference as far as the limb itself that stuck out and the mokem chasak, the place of the cut where it was attached to the rest of the animal. So if it put that back in, so whatever it put back in, the mokum chasak is mutter, but meanwhile, whatever it did not put back in, not only is the limb also, so in both cases, we would say the limb is also, like Rav says. But the difference is that the one that it brought back in, the mokum chasak will be mutter, the one that it did not bring back in, the mokum chasak will be also. But nevertheless, that braisa doesn't contradict Rav. Well, the Gemara says, still, problem with that is, the fact is, the Braisa is pointing out the fact that you have two different words in the pasuk, parsa and parsos, and prosos. So if it was just to teach us about the mokum chasa, then it could have just told us about one. When there's one parsa sticking out, there's a difference whether it put it back in or not. My love, chad la'aver v'chad la'mokum chasach. On the face of it, then, one is coming to tell us that the aver as a whole is mutter, and the other one is coming to tell us that the mokum chasach is mutter. Now, the Teferes Yaakov points out, fine, if we only had one pasuk, we would say that it means the mokum chasach. But if we have two psukim, one of them tells us that the mokum chasach is mutter, then even the greater chiddush would be that even the aver itself would be mutter, but not like that. So the Gemara says no, lav and lo, no, because that's not what we need parasa and process for. Chad the mokum chasach, but chad the kolot. One would tell us that the mokum chasach is mutter, but not the limb that stuck out itself. But that, if it put it back in, then at least it's considered that it's considered at least the mokum chasach is fine. V'chad l'kolot. The other one would be telling us about a whole different case, namely where the baby animal is kolot, where it has unsplit hooves. Namely, a kosher animal, of course, has split hooves. But sometimes you could have a mutant born that doesn't have split hooves. For some reason, really what it is the hooves on a kosher animal, or for that matter, on a non-kosher animal that has unsplit ones, correspond to the fingers or toes of a person. So a kosher animal, in effect, is walking on two of its toes. So the same way, sometimes a person can be born missing fingers or toes, the same way an animal can be born missing the equivalent of a finger or a toe, and therefore its hoof is unsplit. The point is, such an animal is, now it is born from a kosher animal, it is a kosher species, but is it mutter to eat or not? Well, so when you find an animal with unsplit hooves in the womb of a cow or any other kosher animal. Now, namely, therefore, we would have to be saying that this drasha would be specifically needed according to Reb Shimon. The Amr Reb Shimon, Kolot Ben Para Osir. Reb Shimon says in the Sefer Bechoris, which we'll learn in a few months, that a Kolot is in fact Osir. He explains that, like this, the Torah mentions among the non-kosher animals, it mentions twice gomel. It mentions the camel. It mentions it once in, as we learned in the previous parak, it lists the list of animals with only one simen tara is given twice in Shmini and in Re'eh, and in both places it mentions the gomel. Why, says Reb Shimon, and both of them, it says, because it doesn't have slivers. So Reb Shimon says one of those teaches us that an actual camel is also. The other one teaches us that a camel-like baby born to a cow mother is also ulcer. So according to him, in other words, we're saying that this baby with the unslivered hooves would in fact be ulcer to eat. However, Hanili take the yachts of Avra Oiva. However, that would, even according to Reb Shimon, that would be only when it actually came out into the world from the womb. Avra B'me'ima is shari, but when it's still, if it's found in the mother's womb, when you shecht it, then it would be mutter. And that we can learn from the word parasa, namely, even it only has one parasa, it doesn't have a split hoof, it just has one continuous parasa, like a camel or like the other non-kosher species, then nevertheless it's mutter because it's still in the womb. So the Braisa, which is saying that we learn from parasa and you learn from process, so parasa would be teaching us that Reb Shimon would allow such an animal even though it has an unsplit hoof. And then process would be the case where it stuck out a hoof and then put it back in, where we're saying that the hoof itself would be also like Rav, but nevertheless the Makam Fasach would be mutter because it put it back in like Rav Nachman Yitzchak has been saying. So it comes out then, Rashi points out that in that case, when it said Hechzir in the beginning of our Mishnah, is Lavda, or in the Braisa, is Lavdafka, because in that case then it's true that it doesn't really matter whether Hechzir or not. At least in the case of Parasa, it doesn't make a difference either way. Reb Shimon is allowing the unborn baby that's completely in the womb, and there's no Hechzir relevant over there because we're talking about it's completely inside the womb, and according to Reb Shimon, now it would be also had it been born, but it remains its mutter because it was still in the womb at the time, whereas the second, the process would be teaching us the case where it stuck out, a fore leg or a hind leg, as we've been learning in our mission. And Tosca says, now according to the Rabbanim, who say that in any case a mutant animal would be kosher, so then you don't need, according to them, you don't need this Jerusha. Apparently, according to them, you would have to use the word Parasa for some other Jerusha. Tosca points out that the Gemara talks about later on, what if the mutant is not an animal shaped thing? What if it's a bird shaped thing? Would it still be mutter? So Tosca says that it wouldn't be that you would say that when you learn the word, that from that you learn the word parasa from that, because later on, when the Gemara discusses that point, then that doesn't come up, and even Reb Shimon would hold that if it's a bird-like creature, that it would be also rather. So therefore, according to Tosfos, he can't say that the Chachamim are using the word parasa for that Jerusha. It must be there's some other Jerusha. The Ram explains that no, actually, the Chachamim would use the word parasa for part of that Jerusha over there about if you find a bird-shaped thing in the animal. So we'll talk about that point on some of the tests on the base tomorrow, Rest Hashem. In any case, so far, this Braisa does not contradict the Rav. And all these Braisas, we can find a way to make them work according to Rav, and therefore we haven't contradicted him. Okay. Now the Gemara continues with a different opinion. Ula Amr Abir Yochanan. Ula says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Ve'eva Asmin Mutter. No, actually, the limb itself that stuck out before that as long as it put it back in, before Shchita, would actually be Mutter. So not like Rav is saying that it's going to remain also forever as Bosa Basoda Trefa, that in effect it became Trefa and can never become Mutter again. Ola, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, says that no. But Rabbi Yehuda says to Ola, how could he be saying that in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? Didn't Rav and Shmuel both say that it's Osir? An interesting point is that before, Rabbi Yehuda had ordered it only in the name of Rav. Right? Over here, he's mentioning Shmuel as well. So the Pnei Aryeh explains that Before, when all this time, we only mentioned Rav because in halachas of Issa Beheter, the halacha is anyway like Rav. So even if Rav Shmuel had disagreed, the halacha would still be like Rav. But now, when one asks on Rabbi Yochanan, you have a usual rule in halacha that when there's disagreement between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha is usually like Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yehuda wants to ask him, though, the fact is, here Rabbi Yochanan is outnumbered, there's Rav and Shmuel against him, so how could Rabbi Yochanan say that? So all the answers with a very respectful statement about Rav and Shmuel. Man Yohivon Ma'atzah, the Rav and Shmuel, the Malin and Einin. First of all, you should know we have tremendous derech eretz for Rav and Shmuel as great Talmidei Chachamim, as world class Talmidei Chachamim. If only someone could give us some of the dust of Rav and Shmuel, and we would fill up our eyes with it. In other words, we love what they say very much. Nevertheless, Ella, Hoki, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, but you should know that actually the reason why Rabbi Yochanan said this is because he has a drasha for it. There's many things that are in the category of Bosta Basarat Shrefa, things where you have meat that was supposed to, meat or food that was supposed to remain inside its place. So there's the baby in the womb which becomes mutter with its mother's shrefa. You also have meat of kodshim that has to remain in the Azara, meat of kodshim kalim that has to stay in Yerushalayim. All of those are included in Rosh Hashanah Shrefa. But the part of the Chakos of Gabri Chathas, she yotza chutzam chitzas of a chazra asura. However, then the Torah singles out for you by a chathas that if it went outside of the chitza of the azara, even though it was brought back in, that it's also. Namely, when we have in Parashat Shmi, when Moshe is investigating what happened to one of the korbanos that was brought that day, that was burnt. We learned in Zvachim a while back. It was the goat that was brought as part of the musafim of Rosh Chodesh. And Moshe found the Hinnish Sodok that had been burnt. So he investigated about it, and he was angry and yelled at Allah's every summer, how could you do that? And he goes through the different possibilities over there of why you might, conceivably, did one or another soul happen to it that you went and burnt it? In the end, Aaron explains to him that we couldn't eat it because we were owning him, etc. Anyway, the point is when we learned about it in Zvachim, also the Gemara discusses it in Pesachim, that part of what he's telling them is, he uses the expression, the blood of it has not been brought into the Kodesh in the inside. Now that would mean, if we learned in Zvachim, we know that Chatos, whose blood is brought into the Kodesh, becomes also to eat. So he's asking, did you do that? And they said, no, we didn't. But he also adds the word pnima on the inside. What does that extra word pnima add to us? It means that Moshe is telling them that the meat of this korban stayed pnima the whole time. It stayed in the azara the whole time, and therefore you shouldn't have burned it because it never became possible. So Moshe is in effect saying, had it been ever brought outside the Azara, then fine, I'd agree that it would be possible and you should burn it. But the fact is that it wasn't. Now, we would say, why? You took it out of the Azara, big deal, bring it back into the Chotzer, as the Chotzer of the Mishkan, which corresponds to the Azara of the Beis Mikdash. Fine. So you brought it out of the Chotzer, bring it back in, and we're good. Obviously, though, the Torah is implying that it's not so. Once it's brought out, it's permanently possible. So, says Rabbi Yochanan, that only when the Torah singles out for you by chatas, that when it went at chutzam chitzas of a chazer and then returned asura, that then it's permanently also. Now, therefore, chatas for the parak rachman abba, so therefore it's only by a chatas that the Torah singles out, specifies that it's also no matter what. Abba tomili, but the implication is anything else that was supposed to be in a sudan lechitza, kibin dohodu, once it was brought back into its proper place, surely then it becomes mutter again. So therefore, so very nice, says Ula, it's true, we have tremendous respect for Rav and Shmuel, but nevertheless, the Rabbi Yochanan is entitled to argue with them because he has this drasha from this pasuk, and therefore he's in there, and based on that is why he's arguing with Rav and Shmuel. So in other words, if it stays outside, then yeah, it's also because Bosavas said it today, but only if you put it back in, then it's mutter. So in other words, the Tosfos said the fact that it calls it Shrefa wouldn't mean that it's Shrefa Ein Lahetzer. There's no way of being matched to it again. Rather, we would use it, we would be using the fact that it's called Shrefa for some other purpose. The Ran actually learns differently. The Ran learns that Rabbi Yochanan would hold that the boss of Asura Shrefa refers, in fact, only to Kodshin. The Treka does not include the Chlal, the Seisim. Eivra Yotze, so it's also because Eiv Menachai, but as soon as it comes back in, then it's not Eiv Menachai anymore, and therefore it's not considered, and therefore there's no problem with it anymore. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan is basing himself on. But the Gemara says, Meisvi, though, have a contradiction on Ula's statement. A Brisa says, "Bosse basada treifa leisecheru matam aboyma." Why does the pasuk need to say? Why does the pasuk need to say treifa in this pas in this pasuk? Well, bosse basada leisecheru. The reason is the fish matzinim ma'aser sheni bikurim. You have ma'aser sheni and bikurim, which are supposed to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Sha'afav sheyotzu futzim chitzasim lechazu. Now those, even though they're taken out of their mechitzas, if they're brought back in, mutarim and nimutzu. When you bring bikurim or ma'aser sheni to Yerushalayim, you're supposed to keep it in the walls of Yerushalayim. But let's say you didn't. Let's say you took it out of Yerushalayim at one point. Nevertheless, it doesn't become posel. Bring it back into Yerushalayim, and there follow the usual rules and eat it. So yochol asa kain. You would think the same thing with this unborn baby's limb, Tamabana Tshrefa, that is why the Torah says Tshrefa. And the Gemara says, my Tamudah, so how do you learn from the word Tshrefa that it means that it's not so? Amar Rabba, Kit Tshrefa, that's the point. We've been saying all this time that it means it's like Tshrefa, Mat Tshrefa, Kimin Chinitrefa, Shuveng Maheter. So it's like a Tshrefa, once an animal comes Tshrefa, there's no Heter for it, there's no fixing it up. Ach Bosa, Kimin Chiyotza, Futsam Chitzosa, Shuveng Maheter, the same way when the meat goes out of its Mechitza, then there's no Heter for it again. So it's clear that the Braisa is in fact saying that that meat that grows any time that you have a mechitza for meat that would be osir outside of that, then it becomes osir if it goes out of that mechitza and remains permanently so. So bikurim and maaser are an exception to that, but with meat it would be osir. Now in that case, Tosfos says then why did I have to specify it by the chatas? And the reason is because still you would have thought because you would have thought to learn from Ma'aser Sheni and Bikurim, you would have thought to make a binyan av from them. So therefore, so on the contrary, you need to be told don't make a binyan av from them, but rather learn that by chatos as well as by all other cases of meat of kodshim, it is in fact going to be osur if it goes chutzam chitzasa and there's no heter for it. So in fact, the Ramban explains, in other words, that Fakir, because it says by Achatas, then we learn from that, Binyan Av, that all Kodshim Mizbeach are the same thing, whereas Ma'aser Sheni and Bikurim are not Kodshim Mizbeach. Rashi says it a little bit differently. Rashi says that everything was included in the Treifa, and therefore when the Chatas is singled out and it's not teaching us a separate Isser, it's telling us that other things are Mutter, but the only things that are not, again, only things that are not similar to it. When we say over here nitcher for shuvein laheter, that once it becomes treifa, then there's no heter for it. So the Ra'ah and his Bar Plugta, the Rashba, hold that a number of Rishonim hold that means, in other words, so for exactly that, if an animal becomes treifa, then it can't ever become mutter again. By doing something to it. Now you could have, we talked about in the previous setup, sometimes it can heal naturally and then it will be mutter, or sometimes even we have, you can do certain things to it, maybe to make it mutter, but for an example that the Ra'ah gives is we're going to talk about later in the perek about Slimus HaGidim, about this area of a bundle of tendons that if too much of them are damaged, then the animal is trefa. Now on the other hand, you have, according to some opinions that we're going to learn later on, if the animal's leg is cut off above that point, it can still be mutter. So conceivably, suppose you have an animal whose Tzemes HaGidim was damaged, now you're going to cut off, and then it's Trefa, and now you're going to cut off the leg above it. Then that all explains, based on what we're saying over here, that no, once it's Trefa, it can't become kosher, and therefore that wouldn't work. In any case, the point is that this Braisa makes it clear that anything, Kivin Shiyotza, Chutzam Chitzasa, that any meat, and including also this case of the animal sitting out of its limb, once it goes out of its mechitza, then it's also, then there's no hetzel. Tiyukta de Ola, this is a clear contradiction on Ola. So the Gemara says, you're right, Tiyukta, this is a clear contradiction on him, and therefore we can't accept Ola's opinion. Now that doesn't necessarily mean that we're shrugging up Rabbi Yochanan, even though Ola had said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, because you have the next piece of Gemara over here that learns Rabbi Yochanan differently. The Braille, the Gemara says, Omar, so we did say in the Braille, so the Fisher Matsinim, Maisashenim, Rikurim, we find by Maisashenim, Rikurim, that if they're taken out of the Mechitza and go in, they're still Mutter. So the Gemara says, Hey, Kamatsinim, well, where exactly do we find them? And the answer is, Zichtiv, because the Pasuk says, Vaisuch Alecha B'Sharecha, Masa B'Gon, for the Gemara, the Pasuk says, you're not allowed to eat in your gates, meaning in your cities, the Maisu, your grain, and various other things. So, Surum Asiyadecha, the Pasuk finishes, which refers to Bikurim, so therefore, so B'Sharecha, Hutlai Techo, implying you can't eat them in your cities outside your shrine. But even if they were taken out of your shrine, as long as they were brought back in, mutarin, then they owe, in fact, mutar to eat. Now, Tosfos says, wait a minute, maybe what it means is you can't eat them in your cities. You must bring them to your shrine, and they're never allowed to go out of your shrine again. So Tosfos explains, because the Gemara was a Gemara in Machlis that explains that explains the Pasuk is actually referring to when they were brought in and taken back out, and the Pasuk is still saying that you have to bring them back in and eat them. So implying, in other words, so therefore we see that they're actually mutter, even though they were, even though at one point they were outside. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem. We'll talk about another version of this machlokas of Rav and Rav Yechanan, and then we'll about whether the limb that came out is mutter or not, and then we'll learn a machlokas about it in the Gemara, and then within that, we have machlokas Rishonim, how to understand that machlokas. So we'll get into all that tomorrow, Beis Hashem.